know that some will label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that this heresy. I'll dare to be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity. Turn off TBN, that channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful. They're lying to people, teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle.
Being slain in the spirit, talking in an unknown gibberish language. God wants you healthy, wealthy, and financially prosperous. You are a little God. Sow a seed. God told me dot, dot, dot. And the list goes on and on. I am Dr. Luke, and this is the Word for America program on Grace Life Radio 90.1 FM WPGT, where we preach grace and truth. And today we are privileged to have Brother Justin Peters, who is an evangelical teacher in the area of apologetics, and specifically he exposes the heresy and the teachings behind the charismatic Word of Faith movement, which we have been talking about here on our show for the last couple of weeks, promoting his appearance at Providence Village Baptist Church. The title of his seminar is called Clouds Without Water, and his website is Justin Peters, and that's P-E-T-E-R-S, all one word, justinpeters.org. And a little bit about Brother Justin. He was invited last year to Dr. John MacArthur's Strange Fire Conference, and that was in October of 2013, to teach on this specific subject for the conference that was dealing with unbiblical charismatic practices and theology. He exposes such false teachers such as Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, Creflo Dollar, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Benny Hinn, Rod Parsley, Paula White, T.D. Jakes, Morris Cerullo, Joseph Prince, Jen and Paul Crouch, and the list can go really goes on and on. You can turn on any so-called Christian TV station such as TBN, God TV, Daystar, etc., and you're going to see these false teachers. And really, they're seeking after one thing and one thing only, and that's typically money, and they're preaching money, and that's their promise for most people, and that's the ploy, and that's the pull that they have on a lot of people. And it seems today, and we've said this before, that in the evangelical world, the only heresy is to actually say that there is heresy. And you say, if you say something is heretical, and then you get blasted for saying that. And it's really because, you know, people don't read their Bibles anymore. People don't study the Word of God. They don't let the Word of God lead them. They let their emotions lead them. And therefore, we've come to this crossroads where when you say that there's heresy, then you're the one that is heretical. But the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that we're to be able to give a response for the hope that lies within us. You know, we're to give that defense, that apologia response. And that is what we are called to do. We are to know what we believe, to know why we believe it, and then we need to be able to effectively communicate that with other people. So in order to do that, and to launch into this segment with Brother Justin here, and we also have with us Pastor Dak Summerhill from Providence Village Baptist Church, and also Pastor Teacher Brandon Ellis in Grace Life Church of Lake City, in order to go into this session talking about this, the one key thing that's lacking, and that in the evangelical world today, when we're talking about these heresies, is the whole area of discernment. That is, without a true biblical gift of discernment, these false teachers can just run amok, and they have, literally they have. Brother Justin, can you just tell us a little bit about, I know when you do Clouds Without Water, the first session, it deals with discernment, and that's important.
Right, it is, and Sean, that is something that is sorely, sorely lacking among the vast majority of professing Christians today, is they just seemingly have no theological filter. They have no discernment, and I think in large part that is because few professing Christians actually know what's in their Bible. They profess fidelity to the Bible. They profess their belief in inerrancy, but they really don't even know what's in it, and they don't know how to read it and interpret it properly. And so there is a rampant lack of discernment among people. People don't know how to sift through truth from error, right from wrong. They don't know how to evaluate claims and teachings through the lens of God's Word. And that's why false teachers such as Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen and these others are so very popular because not everything that false teachers teach is false.
Right.
Some of it is right, but there is that error, that mixture of error that makes these teachings so popular but so profoundly dangerous in the same at the same time. And because people don't really know their Bibles, they don't pick up on the error, on the poison that's mixed in with a little bit of truth.
Mm-hmm. And there's so and there's so many different things that that the Word of Faith teach. And again, we're all Word of Faith are charismatics.
Right.
Right. But not all charismatics are Word of Faith. But you right. get a mixture of a lot of the different teachings from the Word of Faith, both in charismatic in the charismatic world and also the Word of Faith itself. And when I say that too, when I say charismatic, you know, Pentecostal type churches, AG, Assemblies of God, those types of things.
Right.
They'll teach some of these things, but they're not always the Word of Faith, but there's definitely a lot of the error that the Word of Faith people teach. Obviously, in your sessions, Clouds Without Water, you talk about the tongue speaking, and you know that's an issue where they go into, and in fact, the Word of Faith will even claim that, you know, there is no salvation outside of speaking in tongues, which they think is some gibberish language, which
right.
you go into in detail, and we don't have to here today. But they also here's one thing that they do: they teach the little God's doctrine.
Right.
And in that little God's doctrine, you know, they claim that God has made man in his image and therefore that we're gods since we're man. And that's the whole idea. I think your Creflo Dollar is in your session when you're talking about that. The problem with that is that they end up deifying man.
Right.
And then they dethrone God.
That's right.
And then they put themselves in this God error. Obviously, that is a major, major problem. Let's just talk about the problems with that. What happens when we deify man and we dethrone God?
Sure.
Or attempt to. It doesn't happen, but that's what they're doing.
Sure, sure. That is the heart, really, of the prosperity gospel, even though probably a lot of people who are Word of Faith don't necessarily understand the ins and outs of this doctrine, but that is at the heart of their heresy. They, as you say, they diminish the glory of God, the uniqueness of Christ, and they deify man. In fact, they teach that if you are a Christian, you are to use their words, and this is a direct quote, just as much an incarnation as was Jesus of Nazareth.
Hmm.
And that's from Essex W. Kenyon, he's the grandfather of the Word of Faith movement. And so this is why they hold so tenaciously to health and wealth, because they teach that if you are a Christian, you are an incarnation. You just as much as Jesus. And so therefore you have all the rights, all the privileges. You are a little God, and a little God cannot be poor. And a God can certainly not be sick. They're teaching on health and wealth. These are offshoots. It's the logical conclusion
right.
to their little God's doctrine, their belief, their teaching that you are God, and therefore you should not be poor because God's not poor, and you should not be sick because God obviously is not sick.
Justin, this sounds a lot like Mormonism.
Absolutely, Dax. I'm glad you brought that up. It is a lot like Mormonism. There's a lot of overlap between Word of Faith and Mormonism and Roman Catholicism and even Islam. It's the same basic heresies. It's just packaged differently for different audiences. But there's a lot of commonality between Word of Faith, Mormonism, and Roman Catholicism especially. A lot of overlap.
Justin, can we explore the roots of that commonality in Genesis 1? I mean Genesis 3, perhaps. I mean, with the serpent and the temptation there. I mean,
yes, that's exactly right. One of the points I make in my seminar is this desire to be just like God. That was the very first temptation, which led to the very first sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what led Adam. That's what Satan tempted Adam and Eve with, and led them to eat of the fruit, the very first sin. So it's what I say in my seminar. It is dreadfully ironic
mm-hmm.
that the very first temptation that led to the very first sin, the whole fallen state in the first place, the prosperity preachers teach as truth.
Right.
They want us to believe it. That's at the heart of their gospel, not the gospel, but it's at the heart of their gospel, and they want people to embrace it. And it's the very thing that led to the fallen state in the first place.
Yeah, the doctrine that you can become a god is actually in the Bible. The problem is it was dealt out by the father of lies.
That's,
you know,
exactly,
I'll
right.
eat of the fruit and you'll be like God, which is essentially what Mormonism teaches as well. They can be little gods,
yes,
as well. And two, you know, the big thing, you know, you turn on, if I turned on Daystar, if I turned on, you know, TBN today, and all the ones that I mentioned at the top of the show, one of those, it's probably going to be on there within the hour, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say something like this, and inevitably they say it the whole way through. You need to sow your seed. You need
right.
to sow your seed into the ministry. And by sowing your seed, what they mean is send money.
Right.
And by doing that, what they're saying is, in their ploy is that you will receive this back tenfold. I even think they even use that, the tenfold,
hundredfold. Yeah.
You're going to get this back. There's a problem with here. The problem that I see, number one, is that these hucksters, these charlatans, they're not sowing their seeds anywhere. They're living in 34,000 square foot homes with 3,000 square foot garages and what have you. And that's Jesse Duplantis.
Yeah.
He's one of them.
Not an exaggeration.
It's not an exaggeration. Yeah, it's not an exaggeration. That's true.
A lot of times, I mean, their doctrine comes out as the justification. I think of Benny Hinn, you know, that Benny Hinn has stated on several occasions, I cannot fly a commercial airline. I'm a child of the King. And they use their doctrine of what they believe about God and themselves as a justification
right.
for these lavish lifestyles that
right.
they live.
And my point is that they're always after money. I mean, they teach the very thing that the Bible says will damn their soul.
That's
just
right.
like this whole thing with the little God's doctrine in 1 Timothy. You know, it says here that, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. It seems that their doctrines that they teach are completely opposite of what the scripture is actually teaching. And really, when it boils down to it, and I know that you talk about this in some of your question and answer, but it really seems that I really don't know how much a lot of these charlatans actually, if they really believe what it is that they're saying, or if they're just out for that next dollar.
Yeah, I get asked that probably more than any other singular question, is do they really believe what they teach, or do they know they're false teachers? And in short, I think some of the people you see are out and out charlatans, snake oil salesmen, people like Robert Tilton, people like Mike Murdoch, people like Todd Koontz, Rod Parsley, I would put in that group. They are out and out charlatans. They know full well what they're doing. Now, some of them, I think, it's some part of them believes that they actually are doing the right thing. And I would put Benny Hinn, actually, in that camp. I've studied him a long, long time. And I think there is a part of Benny Hinn that thinks he's doing the right thing. That having been said, he is also knowingly deceiving people. I mean, he's got any number of lies that he's told about major events in his own life and ministry. For example, he said that he went to a hospital in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Canada, and healed everybody in the hospital. Well, it's patently false. The Reverend Mother, as of about 10 years ago, the Reverend Mother, who was there at the time, was still there 10 years ago, and they did a documentary, and they asked her about this. She said, no, it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Catholic hospital. So, I mean, he makes up, he knowingly lies. He knows the people that he proclaims to be healed on his stage at all these healing crusades. He knows they are not healed.
Mm-hmm.
He says they have a department to verify these healings. Well, I've talked to somebody who used to work for Benny Hinn, and no, they don't have a department
mm-hmm.
that verifies these healings. He is knowingly deceiving people. Paul talks about, I believe it's 2 Timothy 3, those who are deceiving and being deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Deceiving, actively deceiving, and yet being deceived themselves. So as weird as it is, that both of those dynamics, I think, can be at work in the same person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may have heard it said, if you tell a lie often enough, you begin to believe it yourself.
Yeah,
and
the mantra type of belief.
Right.
And two, and I want to bring up as well, because recently, for those of you who don't know, Brother Justin has cerebral palsy. So that's a physical disability. And he went to one of these camp meetings pretty recently. If you can pull it up on YouTube, I believe, him and a friend was there. And he went to one, Todd Bentley, who is one of these word of faith false teachers and false healers. He claims that he would have some healings. Tell us a little bit about that venture when you were there. Obviously, when you see Brother Justin, you know he has cerebral palsy. So for some reason, Todd Bentley didn't want to heal you that day.
Yeah, Todd Bentley, if you don't know who he is, I mean, he is one of the worst of the worst of the worst. He is the guy, I think the guy really belongs in a straitjacket. I mean, the guy is just absolutely certifiably nuts, disturbed, deranged. I think Todd Bentley is demon-possessed.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a few of them I would really say. I think he's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is absolutely bona fide demon-possessed.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so out there. He would make Benny Hinn look like John MacArthur by comparison.
Oh, wow.
I mean, to give you an idea, I know, I'm just saying he's that bad. He's that bad. No aspersions at all to John MacArthur. I love him. But that, I'm just saying that's how bad Todd Bentley is.
Mm.
But all that to say, he was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 6 weeks ago or so, and a couple hours away from where I lived. And I saw that these services he was doing were being live streamed on the internet. And I thought, well, that would be a good opportunity to go to one of these things. I go to some of these meetings from time to time for research and to, you know, I don't want it to just be a head, you know, an academic exercise. I want to get in there and talk
mm-hmm.
to people. And,
sure.
And, so I went with the purpose of calling him out as a false teacher. And, long story short, I'm sitting on the front pew by myself. I've got the whole row of chairs by myself. I'm sitting there for 2.5 hours. The service has been going on for 2.5 hours, and I'm feet away from Todd Bentley. Now, Todd Bentley claims that God speaks to him in real time, gives him divine revelation knowledge about specific people in real time, and Bentley will say, well, God's telling me that you're going to do such and such. God's telling me that he's going to heal you. So God's talking to him all the time. And so I just walk up. I'd almost talked myself out of it. I said, no, I'm going to do it. So I just walked up, and I come up behind him, and he turns around, and, you know, he's surprised. He said, well, I'm going to pray for you. And I said, I have a word. And in charismatic circles, when you say, I have a word,
that means something.
Yeah, you know, people's antennas go up. Ooh, you know, what's God talking to him about? So I said, I have a word. And he said, well, is it a good word? And then he sticks a microphone in front of my face. Now, okay. And so I quote Matthew 7:21-23, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And I said, this man is a worker of iniquity. And he said, which man? And I said, you. And
amen.
You know,
amen, brother.
And what is so ironic about this, here's Todd Bentley, to whom God supposedly is speaking all the time, and I'm sitting on the front pew for 2.5 hours.
Can't believe he didn't know that.
And God apparently did not bother to give him a heads up about what I was about to do
right,
to him.
Right.
You know, so much for his discernment.
Yes.
You know.
And so there was no healing done that night.
No. All of this stuff is psychosomatic.
Yeah, yeah.
All these people that claim to be healed, psychosomatic healing. What you don't see at these things, you don't see an amputee growing a new limb.
Right.
You don't see a Down syndrome child being restored.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see somebody missing an organ growing a new. That's, you never see that.
Right.
Now, if these guys really did have the gift of healing, you would see instant verifiable healings, not psychosomatic, not I think I feel better, yeah, I feel some kind of heat going through. No, a real bona fide healing that cannot be explained by any other anything other than God's sovereign act.
Right, and many of these healing camp meetings as well. Obviously, there have been documented plants. Of people that claim that they're healed,
yeah.
And this and nothing objective either,
right.
Subjective stuff. Right. Oh, I was deaf, now I can hear. You
yeah.
know those types of things, and they plant those people. They've done that for you. Peter Popoff was
Peter Popoff
was caught a few years ago, but he's still doing it over and over again.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, you know, we're talking about how badly the church needs discernment in our day. I'm listening to Justin and just being around Justin in general. I think what the church also needs is courage of conviction. And that's something that I get, and I'm embarrassing Justin, but that's something that I get from being around Justin. We need people to have the courage to say things
right,
that this is false and this is ungodly and unbiblical and those things as well. That we need more than just discernment. There's a lot of people that don't agree with these people. We need people to call them out.
Right. We need to, you know, not only be the Bereans to know it, we ought to be able to say, no, this is wrong. This is antithetical to the gospel.
And I think, as Sean just pointed out, a very important thing. I think a lot of that courage to do these things comes from knowing why these things are wrong. There's a sense that as a Christian with the Spirit of God inside of us, when we see a lot of these different things which are claimed as being of God, there's something of a bit of a just like an ick factor to where we recoil and we recognize there's something not right with what's going on here. Well, that's good that we know that we're against it, but we all are called from the Bible to be like the Bereans and search the Scriptures. And one of the reasons we search the Scriptures, of course, is to know the truth, but also so that we might be able to spot the false, but not just be able to recognize something is false, but to know why those things are false. It's going to be very difficult to make a bold proclamation that someone is wrong in their teaching if you don't know exactly why they are wrong, and if you don't know the countering truth that goes with that. So with this area of discernment, it is going to be impossible to do what we have been called to do at times in exposing these false teachers if we ourselves do not know what the Bible actually says.
Yeah. And, you know, and one thing, too, about being able to do that and to make this, you know, practical for us in the here and the now, you know, we are in Florida. You know, we are in the bottom part of the Bible Belt. You know, everybody here is a believer. You go out on the street and everybody's a Christian. That's common here. But then again, most aren't Bereans. Most aren't searching the Scripture. They will flip on Joel Osteen and they will drink that stuff down like it's the same thing you said in your seminar. It's the same thing every week. I mean, it's the same yada, yada, yada. God loves you. He's got a wonderful plan for your life. Step out on your faith. Never defines it. Like you said, you know, you probably leave his church out of boredom because it's the same message every single week. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what's happening right now. And since we are in the South, you know, we here at Grace Life Church, we're non-denominational but more Baptistic in theology. In our world right now, and for a lot of people that are actually listening, what are some of the dangers? Who are some of the ones that are kind of slipping in under the radar into our world? And people are kind of really taking a hold of their teachings, but then again, you look, if you really follow their theological teachings to their conclusion, it's coming right out of the Word of Faith. Who are some of those today that we need to be looking out for?
Yeah, some people come to my mind immediately. I would say, as far as charismatic word faith theology, Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer have been very, very successful at reaching not only the charismatic word of faith people, but also people in denominations and churches who have traditionally not been charismatic. Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer are both very, very popular among many, many Baptists. So they are very dangerous. Also, I would say, something that's been popular here in the last several years, in the last 10 years or so, are these people who claim that they've been to heaven. Don Piper, 90 Minutes in Heaven. Colton Burpo, Heaven is for Real. These heaven tourism books, and are very, very popular. Of course, just a few months ago in April, they released a movie about Heaven is for Real, and people are eating this stuff up. Absolutely eating it up. No discernment. These books contradict one another. They contradict themselves, and they contradict Scripture. They are completely antithetical to God's Word when it comes to new revelations, when it comes to about heaven itself. And yet people are eating this up. And I'll say, as we were talking about having courage to stand up, I want to challenge our Christian bookstores to have courage to stand up. I want to challenge Lifeway.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Lifeway is the publishing arm or the retail arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. And you can go in a Lifeway store and you can find books by T.D. Jakes, who's a modalist, doesn't even believe in the Trinity. You will find 90 Minutes in Heaven, Heaven is for Real. And I've emailed the powers that be at Lifeway. I used to be on the board of it back in the day, and I've shown them my research. They cannot refute it because it's just it's biblical. I mean, these things are clearly against Scripture, and it doesn't matter. They cannot refute what I'm saying, but they continue to sell it. And the only conclusion that I can come to is that the bottom line, money, is more important to Lifeway than the spiritual well-being of its customers and the glory of God. Because this is ultimately, it's bad enough. There's enough reason to be discerning for the spiritual well-being of people in general. But our greatest motivation should be the glory of God. That God is spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and truth, and we must worship Him rightly. And if we do not understand God rightly, we cannot worship Him rightly. And so I want to call out to our Christian bookstores and challenge them to have some courage and biblical fidelity. And Beth Moore is another.
Yeah.
I just opened up a big can of worms.
Number one, a Christian bookstore is probably the worst place a Christian could be these days.
Yeah,
I mean, you walk in, like you say, who do I see? I see Joyce Meyer. I see Joel Osteen. I see T.D. Jakes. Where are the Bibles? They're back in the back corner.
Yeah, the features are always at the front.
They're at the front smiling. You got Joel smiling at you every bookstore you walk into. But you're right, the bottom line is money. And then you did open up a can of worms. Beth Moore, but you're right on point because, you know, the Southern Baptist and others love her and love her teaching, but she's really started to kind of show some of her true colors in recent years. So to call her out, and which we are, Beth Moore is a false teacher, we need to say why it is that she is. So what are some of the things that she's actually teaching and believing that is antithetical to the gospel?
Sure, Sean. And I know there's probably a lot of ladies with their jaw on the floor right now. What's wrong with Beth Moore? Well, a number of things. Beth Moore is a mystic, basically. She claims that God speaks to her directly, in a direct quotable sense, outside of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And I wish we had time to go into all the theological problems with that, but that is a huge red flag. That is one of the signs of a false teacher.
The canon's closed.
Yes, the canon is closed. Now, if God is still speaking in a direct quotable sense outside of Scripture, then the canon's not closed. You can't get around that. You can't have your cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got an open canon of Scripture if Beth Moore is right. But the thing is that some of the things that God is telling Beth Moore are clearly unbiblical.
Mm-hmm.
For example, she says that God gave her a vision about the church, which includes Roman Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
Roman Catholicism is completely 180 degrees antithetical to the gospel.
Right.
So God didn't give her that vision.
Mm-hmm.
So if God didn't give her that vision, but she claims that He did, well, that's one of the signs of a false teacher from Scripture. I mean, that's very, very clear. Beth Moore has poor hermeneutics. If your hermeneutics are wrong, then the conclusions to which you come will also be wrong. One of the big problems with Beth
Moore... Remind us what hermeneutics are.
How to properly read and interpret the Bible. You know, and everybody's got hermeneutics. You've either got good hermeneutics or bad hermeneutics, but everybody's got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but she has poor hermeneutics, and so a lot of the conclusions... She'll spiritualize verses of Scripture. She'll misapply them and things like this.
Which is what all the Word of Faith people do.
Oh, yeah.
When they actually use text.
Right. They take them out of context. That's right. And you can do that. You can take any number of verses of Scripture, lift them out of their context, and you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's why hermeneutics is so very important. And also, one of the biggest things about Beth Moore is she regularly associates with false teachers. James Robison is Word of Faith. James Robinson is friends with and associates with Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar. He is Word of Faith. Glenn Beck who is a New Age Mormon. He's not even a classic Mormon. He's a New Age Mormon. James Robinson says that Glenn Beck is his brother in Christ. Well, Glenn Beck has a different God, mm-hmm. a different Jesus, a different Bible, mm-hmm. A different gospel. You know, other than that, I guess he's okay, but he's... So what does that say about Beth Moore when she, every Wednesday, she's on James Robinson's program? The Bible's very clear about how we're to treat false teachers. Mm-hmm. We're not to associate with them. We're not to coddle with them. We're not to enter into spiritual enterprises with them. They are to be marked.
Mm-hmm.
Mark those who cause divisions and hindrances contrary to the doctrine which you learned, Paul said in Romans 16. So a number of problems with Beth Moore. And Beth Moore is actually, don't have time to go into all this, but in a conference she was speaking at last year, she actually primed the pump. She was talking about some great move of God that's coming on the scene very soon, and she's already warning people. She said, now, there will be scoffers, and she talks about these scoffers. And basically, the scoffers are people who actually have some biblical discernment, you know, and aren't going to drink the Kool-Aid just because something's popular. And so she's already warning people against people like us.
Right.
When these scoffers come, don't you listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that, I got that clip, and that was chilling to me. That was absolutely chilling.
Yeah, and two, you know, so those are some very clear reasons to be able to call her out and to say that she's a false teacher. And another thing, too, we had mentioned Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer. And I would say this, based on a lot of these other folks, you know, the Benny Hinns, the Jesse Duplantes, the Rod Parsleys, you know, some people can look at them and say, you know, that's just crazy. That's heretical.
Right.
But then we can listen to what Joyce Meyer says, and we can listen to what Joel is, because they're not as over the top as those guys. They're not as they don't go into the heresies as much. In fact, they're so subtle that they can suck you right in. And to me, that makes them more dangerous.
That's right.
Because they appeal to more people.
That's right.
And from a biblical parameter, Beth Moore and Joyce Meyer, them being women themselves, kind of puts them in a place to where they really shouldn't be.
That's right.
And why is that?
That's right. Well, the Bible is very clear about the differing roles for men and women. Of course, men and women are of equal value before God, but we do have different roles. And Paul is very clear, I suffer not, do not allow a woman to teach a man, have authority over man. Titus chapter 2, the roles of men and women, older men teach younger men, older women teach younger women. And so any woman... Let me be careful how I say this. I'm not against female Bible teachers. I am against, because Scripture is against, mm-hmm. females who would teach theology and doctrine to men.
Right.
It's not that they lack a capability of understanding the Word of God. It's a difference in roles.
Right.
And I didn't write it. God did.
Right.
So, you know, if you don't like it, take it up with Him. So any woman who would teach a man, and Joyce Meyer does, and Beth Moore does, then if they knowingly and willingly ignore that biblical parameter,
mm-hmm.
then why would we listen to them in anything else that they have to say about Scripture?
Exactly.
So that is a big problem with these. And I would commend to our ladies who are listening, a female Bible teacher who is very good. Her name is Susan Heck, H-E-C-K. She is actually my pastor's wife. Kathy and I go to Grace Community Church in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Our pastor is Doug Heck, his wife is Susan. Susan has 24 books of the Bible committed to memory.
Wow.
24 books. She's a very able Bible teacher, expositor, but unlike Joyce Meyer, unlike Beth Moore and these others, she teaches only ladies. And her website is withthemaster.com. All one word, withthemaster.com. Very, very good, and dear friends of ours, and I can't say enough good things about her. So, ladies, don't despair. I tell ladies, if you'll go from doing a Beth Moore Bible study to doing one by Susan Heck, it'll be like going from potted meat to filet mignon.
No, very good. Well, that's good that there's an alternative for the women out there.
There is.
You know, speaking of this, this issue of discernment, there is a sense in which whenever God regenerates the heart of a man or a woman, there is a measure of discernment that is given to them then. However, this discernment is something that grows, and I'll give an example from my own walk with Christ. After I was converted, there was no one discipling me at the time. The church that I was in at that time, I was not receiving the discipleship that I longed for. I was not receiving the discipleship that I needed. But I was on fire for Jesus, and I wanted to hear more of the teaching of the Word of God. The pastor of the church at the time, he was an expository preacher. He preached the Word of God faithfully. However, there was just this longing, you know, the zeal that you have right after salvation. You just want everything that you can get. Well, not knowing any better, and to quote Brother Justin Peters, I had the discernment of a lug nut. So I turned on the local Christian radio station, and what I began listening to while I was out making lumber deliveries throughout the day, riding in my truck, Joyce Meyer was on. And there was a period of probably 4 months right after I was saved to where I never missed one of her sermons that came across the air every single day. It was not until later on when we began studying the Bible more. It was actually in a Sunday school class that Sean was teaching at Providence at the time. The passage came up about women not being allowed to teach men. And it was not until then that God showed me that from the Word of God that my discernment was boosted to the level to where I could recognize, okay, this is wrong. Prior to that, I would have told you quite convincingly that I was getting a word from Joyce Meyer every day. So there is a sense in which it is necessary when you see a brother or sister cling a hold of one of these false teachers, somebody needs to come alongside of them and show them a more excellent way. Because if it was not for someone pointing that out in the Word of God and me studying the Word of God for myself to see what I was seeing, if it was actually the truth, who knows? If the Lord had not shown His grace upon me, I may still be listening to Joyce Meyer.
Yeah, and one other thing too that's very popular right now is this movement called the Jesus Calling, and that is pretty popular as well. Can we talk a little bit about that and kind of what that is and kind of, you know, what's the danger of that as well?
But before we jump into that, just to add on to what Brother Justin did say, very shortly after that, Brother Alan Corson, who was a member of Providence Village Baptist Church, came to me, and he gave me two CDs. One was of Steve Lawson, and the other one was John MacArthur. I've never had a better prime rib.
Good, yeah, it's good, solid stuff. So, that's good stuff. So what about this Jesus calling that we are seeing and hearing today?
Yes, Sean, Jesus Calling is far and away the best-selling devotional book on the market. I mean, it is light years ahead of anything else out there. And it's extraordinarily dangerous. It was written by a lady named Sarah Young. Sarah Young was inspired to write this book because of another book that she read entitled God Calling, which was written a little over 100 years ago by two anonymous female mystics. And these ladies claimed to learn how to hear the voice of God. It's like they tuned in, and they once they hit exactly just the right frequency, God started talking to them. And they wrote down what he said. And Sarah Young, I mean, you can read this. If you have a copy of it, flip open to the introduction of the book. You can read this. She admits that God Calling was her inspiration. She says that I, too, began to wonder if I could receive communication from Christ. And so she said one day, it was in 1992, she was up in the mountain somewhere, and cold night, and she said, all of a sudden, she said, I received a message. And so it's like she tuned in to just the right frequency, and when she hit just that right frequency, Jesus started calling her. Jesus Calling. And she said, now this is a direct quote from the introduction of the book. She says, with pen in hand, I began writing down whatever I believed he was saying. Now stop and think about that. The magnitude of what she's claiming. So Jesus is talking to her, outside of Scripture, in a direct quotable sense, outside of Scripture, and she says, with pen in hand, I'm writing down what he's saying. Now, if that is really what is happening, then she's writing Scripture.
Right.
That's what's happening. She's writing Scripture. God cannot speak less authoritatively on one occasion than he does on another. If God is speaking, God is speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever he is saying is and should be just as authoritative as any verse in our Bibles. So if she is really writing down what Jesus is saying to her, then she's writing Scripture. Therefore, we have an open canon of Scripture. The Word of God is not closed. The canon is not closed. The Word of God is not sufficient for us. We've got to have new revelations. And when you read Jesus' calling, it's written, there's 365 devotionals in the book, and they are all written in the first person for Jesus Christ. I, Jesus, will do these things. I am such and such. Written in the first person for Jesus. And so this is an extraordinarily dangerous book. Extraordinarily dangerous. Of course, it's Christian bookstores, you know, they heavily promote this because it's such a cash cow for them.
Mm-hmm.
But ladies and a lot of men too, but it's more ladies, but they are being led astray by this. And it's very, very dangerous. It's mysticism. It's an attack on the sufficiency of God's word. And ladies need to be aware, men and women both need to be aware of what this book is and how very dangerous it is. And it divorces people from their reliance upon Scripture. And there's testimonies. You can read about what people say about this book, the comments about this book. And it's flooded with people saying things like, you know, I start my day with this book. I cannot start my day without this book. You know, this is where I found a deep peace within me, not in the Bible, but in Jesus' calling. And it's just comment after comment.
Justin, why do you think they find, especially ladies, you mentioned they sold millions of books. Why do you think they find this type of writing so appealing?
Yeah, Dax, that's a great question. And I may as well go for broke here because I'm sure I've already ruffled some feathers. But ladies, by their nature, generally speaking, you know, there's exceptions, but generally speaking, women are more driven by their emotions. They are. They are more driven by their emotions and their feelings. Not all, but it is true. And that's not my opinion. That is what Scripture teaches. When Peter refers to women as being the weaker vessel, he's not referring to, generally speaking, women are physically weaker. That's not what he's referring to. I mean, it's clear from the context that they are more easily led astray by false teachers. Why? Because they tend to be more driven by their emotions. That's just the way they are. God has designed men and women differently. So I would say that, and this book, Jesus' Calling, really does appeal to that emotional, touchy-feely side. And it is very emotional and touchy-feely. So, that's why men are to be the spiritual leaders in the home, too. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's not that women are inferior. Don't hear me wrong. They're not inferior. They're nothing like that. We do have different roles. We do have different strengths and weaknesses. You know, God has designed women to do things that us guys can't do, you know, and they do a lot better job than we could ever hope to do. So it's not a matter of being inferior. But anyway, to answer your question, that is what it is. And this is Scripture. It's not my opinion. This is what Scripture teaches. They are, generally speaking, more easily led astray because they do tend to be more driven by their emotions and feelings.
And the whole ideology behind that book sounds very eerily similar to me than a young 14 or 15-year-old Joseph Smith going into the woods and getting this calling from the Lord.
That's right.
Eerily similar. The same thing with Muhammad
in
the cave. So you get these same ideas and the same, you know, God told me this. I'd be very careful when someone says, God told me
Very careful.
So, you know, like, you know, it's one of those things we have to be, you know, what does the scripture say?
That's right.
What the scripture is everything. Well, brothers, we're coming to the end of our time. Again, Brother Justin Peters, his website is justinpeters.org, and it's P-E-T-E-R-S, all one word. And the seminar is called Clouds Without Water. Justin is actually working on a book of the same name that you're about halfway through.
Yeah, about halfway through.
He's about halfway through, so maybe in 2015 we may be able to see that out and available. And so you'll be looking for that. Justin also is traveling around the country. He's been all over the world as well, teaching this seminar, which is much needed. Again, he was at the Strange Fire conference. That is available as well, which is really, really good. A wonderful conference overall. That was done in October of 2013 at Grace Community Church out in Los Angeles. We just a privilege of having Brother Justin with us today. Thank you so much for sitting in with us, and Brother Dax, Brother Brandon, as always. And as always here, Word for America, we ask you to be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, to search the scriptures daily to see if what you're hearing and seeing is from the Lord.
Not be convicted, treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type, because some of the statements are right. It only proves that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cross. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're fleecing the flock. It should be obvious then. Yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's in 1 Timothy 6:9-10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money to make it worse. They've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common? What? It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God. Money is. Jesus is not a means to an end. No. The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message forever I'll yell. If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell. Talk to him. Joel Osteen. False teacher. Let him know. Crackle Dollar is a false teacher. Welcome, welcome. Benny Hinn is a false teacher. I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya. Talk to him. T.D. Jakes is a false teacher. Tell the truth. Joyce Meyer is a false teacher. Let him know. Paula White is a false teacher. Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya. Keep going. Fred Price is a false teacher. Tell the truth. Kenneth Copeland is a false teacher. Welcome, welcome. Robert Tilton is a false teacher. I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya. Talk to him. Eddie Long is a false teacher. Let him know. Juanita Biner is a false teacher. Welcome, welcome. Paul Krause is a false teacher. Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2:1-3.